Good morning. There you go, three times and there you go. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. Welcome to this first Sunday service of the new year of 2018. I just love the songs that we've just sang where we talk about God being our hope and our salvation, of Jesus' love being enough. Is it enough? Is it enough for you? I know it's enough for me. I have a practice that when I approach the new year, I reflect on the previous year, and I just thought I would like to just sort of share a little bit of one of my reflections in terms of just the hope and salvation that we have in Christ. In 2017, I experienced things that I didn't think that I could ever experience 20 years ago. It's been 20 years this year since I first set foot through the door here, and God has just transformed my life. He's changed who I am, but he's made me who I am actually originally supposed to be. My daughters are thriving and flourishing. As you know, one of my daughters got married last year, and you know, that was just such a huge blessing and a time of reflection, because I remember a time when I did not think that such things would be possible for me and my daughters. So I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you this morning for this year. I want to encourage you that our God is the God of the impossible. What you thought might not be possible could indeed be possible if it's according to his will and plan for your life, which actually we do need to surrender to. But today I'm kicking off the first of a three-part series, so I'm going to be talking about being called. So we're looking at called. So today I'm doing called. Next week Stefan is going to do sent, and then I'm going to follow him up and do equipped afterwards. And so this morning, as we look at called, there are so many things that we could be called to become, and in fact that we are called to become. But as followers of Christ, there is one thing that comes before anything that we will ever do for Christ, and that is that we just come to him, and that we come and we know Christ for ourselves, that we know him for ourselves. So you and I are called to become like Christ. And we do that by being with him. And in fact, Jesus invites us to come to him. And we're going to start with this first, the only scripture that I'm going to refer to this morning. So I'm going to read first from the Amplified Version. So if you have your Bibles, have a look in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. You're going to be surprised at this, because this is not the message that you're going to expect to hear. But I have to tell you that before we can do anything else, it's got to come from this place. So here we go. Here's the place, okay? So Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest." And I just put in brackets there, cause and effect. What's the cause and effect of that? "I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, which is useful, good, not harsh, sharp or pressing, but comfortable and gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne." So before I read that again now in the message version for you, just take a pause and just a deep breath and just be relieved that this is how we can begin. This is our approach to this new year, that we can just rest in the presence of Jesus. We can come to him, we can go to him and know him. And you know what? Then he will tell us everything that we need to know about him and about ourselves, and then what it is that he wants us to do. But that's the starting point, a place of rest, a place of being with Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? I'm so glad about that. Okay, so put it another way, Jesus asks his disciples, "Are you tired from all that partying over Christmas and New Year, are you? Worn out? burned out on religion. I think what he means there is just burnt out on just doing the same old thing over and over again and not really getting anywhere, or not really feeling like things are changing, that things are different, that you're just going through the motions of your everyday life without life in it, so to speak. Well, come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So, let's keep company with Jesus. Let's keep company with him, because I don't know about you, but I have no desire to have anything heavy upon me. Do you? You may have something heavy upon you this morning that is weighing you down and burdening you. Go to Christ, come to him, because his burden is light and he won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. So, basically, to start this year, just so that we get it right, the one thing, the best thing that you can do as you start this year and every day is that you just keep company with Jesus. It will be the best thing that you could do. And it will, and all our doing, anything that we do, will then come from a good place. It will come from a place of knowing who we are, knowing that we're loved, knowing who he is, and just a place of rest, so that we're not trying to force things or manipulate things to happen, that we're just coming from a place of rest and refreshment rather than the other way round, because we tend to get busy, do everything, run around ragged, and then we say, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted, I've got to stop. Isn't it right, though? That is what we do, isn't it? We do that. We just run around doing loads of stuff. And let's face it, we all have rather long lists of things to do. But actually, let's do it the other way round. This is kingdom stuff. We do it the other way round, yeah? We come from a place of rest. We start our week from a place of rest. We don't end it at a place of exhaustion when we start like that. And then we keep that going every day. But learning the unforced rhythms of grace does actually require practice, and we're prone to meeting the demands of a busy life. We're prone to just perhaps saying yes to everything, or things are coming at us. So basically what happens then is we live life in a reactionary way rather than a proactive way. So the things that we intend to do, that we know are the best and the good things to do, we don't do because we allow other stuff to come on us without us saying no. So most of us will wake up each morning and we'll think about what we need to do for the day ahead. Is that true? And then I do actually write lists, because I'm getting to that age now where if I don't, I actually forget. So I write a list. But you know, wouldn't it be great if at the top of our list, at the beginning, at the start of every day, we just took time to have time with Jesus? That we read our scriptures, even if it's a portion on it. Do you know what? You only need to read one verse, and one verse of God's word can transform and change your life and change your attitude. It really can. Do you believe me?
Yeah.
Good. Well, believe him before you believe me, but it is true. I know it to be true. But you know, we've all got things in our schedule. We've got to go to school. We've got to do our homework. Well, not us, but you know, some of us. We have to do that. We go to work. We've got to wash up or stick it in the dishwasher. We've got to do our shopping, exercise to keep healthy, you know, maybe have some leisure if we can squeeze it in. There are so many things that are clamoring for our attention. So we could go off in so many ways. And all these things, there is nothing wrong with any of those things. But first, let's get in that place of having devotion with Jesus. What we can do is we can fill our lives up so much that our lives are stretched to the max and we've got no more give. Has anyone kind of like landed in this new year like that, where you just feel like, oh my gosh, if something doesn't change, something's going to break? I know that perhaps there are some people like that here this morning. But however you entered into this year, whether you've landed and you've landed sunny side up or sunny side down, or whether things are still up in the air, just ground yourself in your relationship with Jesus. So creating space is our number one priority, and the best place to do this is in regular rhythms of devotional time. Because you see, the thing is, we talk about this a lot, that when we don't go to God, when we don't have that space and that time and that stillness and silence sometimes, when we don't do that, we long for it, don't we? Do you ever do that, where you just want to get through the day so that you can stop? Come on, people, I know you do. You know I like you to talk back to me. Do you ever, you're going through the day, you're going through the motion, or you look at your week ahead and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm tired already and I haven't even started it. Is there anyone in here who experiences that? Please don't say it's just me. Thank you. Good. So we have this, but do you know what? Only God can fill us up. Only he can give us what we need. Everything that we need is found in Jesus if we would just take time to be with him. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions this morning, because I want this to be very practical in terms of that you're actually going to do something about what we're talking about, and that I am too, you know, that we're going to apply what we're learning. So what I want you to do now is just think about, just take a second or two, just think about, what does your devotional life currently look like? I think it's good for us to reflect and think. What does your devotional life currently look like? And be honest about where you're at, your faults and your feelings. The thing is with God is he doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does insist on complete honesty. So, you know, he'll meet us where we're at. If we haven't been having a devotional life, that's okay-ish. You know, just be honest about that. And with that, Jesus taught the disciples, they spent so much time with him, just being with him before they did anything. They spent so much time with him, learning from him, and just being around him, because he calls us first to himself. And just being around him, they were able to learn rhythms. And it is important that we develop rhythms in our lives to sustain our relationship, to just keep us going, because that is the first relationship, that's our priority, is our relationship with God through Jesus. So I'm aware too that there are barriers to spending time with Jesus, and we'll all be familiar with them, but I've particularly sort of pulled out, I'm going to call out two barriers that would prevent us, not just this year, but every day, to set apart some time to meet alone with God. And I think one of the things that I know I can be bad at sometimes, is sometimes we have intentions, we have intentionality, and it's good to be intentional, don't get me wrong, I love that word, intentional, but intentional is not going to do it, is it? Having good intentions doesn't always do stuff. So I'm a practical person, so I like to look at this in a practical way, and I have a diary, because I need a diary, because I have appointments, you know, through the week, and I have things to do through the week. But as we do that, I think sometimes we fail to do even just that, even just spending time with alone, in quiet, reading our Bible and in prayer. I think we neglect that sometimes because we just don't plan it. We just don't plan it in. Now, I'm a morning person. I rise really early, so morning is really good for me. So that's when I have my devotion. So we're talking about a daily devotion here, that daily we're spending time. And actually through the day, it's not just that we're doing it in the morning, but through the day we're aware of God's presence and we're asking him. You know, when I go out to different appointments or different meetings, I'm always asking God, look, Lord, just help me before I go in. You know, show me what I need to say. Or sometimes I say, Lord, restrain my mouth so that I don't say the wrong thing. You know what? And he's so faithful in that. He's got me out of quite a few scrapes by, you know, preventing me from saying something that I may have said that could have been the wrong thing. So, you know, we do need to be in tune with him throughout the day, but let's start somewhere. Now, I also remember, because I don't want anyone to be like, oh, well, I don't get up early in the morning, so therefore I can't do a morning devotion. I remember when my kids were small, I couldn't do a morning devotion either because one of them was crying from the minute she got up in the morning and demanded my attention. And then once the day starts, that's it, you're off and running, aren't you? So my devotion when my children were small was that my devotion was when I got on my bed at night and I would lay there and, you know, have a time. But obviously I would fall asleep during my devotion, it has to be said. But, you know, I've learned as I've gone along, because it's exhausting, isn't it, looking after young children. But, you know, whatever it is, whatever works for you, pick a time. There are so many, you know, there's any time you can pick in a day, but make it a regular time so that you stick to it. I'm just thinking of other things that we would stick to, you know. I think we would stick to, you know, I tend to just look at emails at certain points in the day. I don't like to look at them all day long, so otherwise I'll get distracted. So I know that at certain points in the day, I'm going to look at my emails. And I know that. But I also know before that, that at certain points in the day, I'm going to pay attention to, you know, my relationship with Christ. So just set a time, plan it in, and just do it. And start small. You know, from small beginnings do big things come. Just start small. If you may never have done a devotion before. You may never have stopped to read some scripture. You know, that is possible. We're all in that place once. You may never have done that. But get it started. Get it going. Start small. Pick a time. Get something that you can use as a devotional, some resource, and just do it. I'll tell you what, it will be the best thing that you can do. Because out of that, you will see that you have the overflow of being with Christ. I often go over there because of the thing, but you know, we go to Christ, we sit, wherever that may be. I'm an in-bed person, I sit in bed and have my devotion. Okay, there you go, you can picture me in bed having my devotion with my cup of tea and my Bible and everything, and I'm having my devotion. Okay, but then I can start the day, but I'm going from that place of where my heart has been connected to God's heart. I think it's always connected, but where I'm aware of it being connected before I go on about my way. And so I think it's just so important that if you don't do anything else this year on top of what you're currently doing, or if you need to claw something back, just listen to me, trust me, just start doing a devotional time every day, and it will change you, it will transform you. And therefore, if it transforms you, what's going to happen then? The overflow of that is that you're going to be an agent of transformation for other people. Because you see, in those places, God tells us some things. He prepares us. This devotional stuff, it isn't just for us, even though it is, because God delights in us. He loves to be with us. But we need to love to be with him. Yeah, we need to make knowing him one of our first things. We just need to know him. And we're going to continue. I've been at this for 20 years now, and I'm always learning new stuff about him. We just need to keep going with this. We need to establish a routine of devotion in our life. We need to. So say to the person next to you, I'm going to establish a routine of devotion in my life. Come on, do it. Then you're committing it. Come on. Okay then, you've done it. Well done. Well done. Now, hold each other to account. Ask them how they're getting on with that when you see them next. So, when we say no, see, it will mean that we have to say no to some other things, and I'm not going to even go into what that could be. When we say no to other intrusions and yes to all that God delights to offer us, because he's got so much that he wants us to have that we haven't yet got, maybe, that we don't understand, but he wants to offer us so much. It includes his love, his mercy, his peace, his joy, his strength, his direction. He can tell us the way to go, his pleasure, his presence, and his ongoing empowerment for us to be Christians. So in this set apart time and space, what we do is we reorder our lives and reorient it around God honoring priorities. When we press the pause button and stop long enough to enter and enjoy his loving embrace, we spoke about this, about running into his arms. I love that. His loving embrace. That's what it is when we go. We're running into his arms. As we rest in God, we discover the rest of God. And it's easy. One thing that I know, that it's very easy to confuse a lot of activity with a purposeful life. But I also want to say to you that you're as close to God as you choose to be. There's another barrier to running to God and to going to him and sitting in his presence. And I'll tell you what that is. And it's the same as with any other relationship. That if you're not sure of the other person's intention towards you, yeah, or if you don't trust the other person, then it would be very difficult to go and spend time with them, wouldn't it, on a regular basis, until you were sure of that. So I just want to assure you this morning of God's love for you, because I think that if we do not know that, if we're not aware of that, then actually that can prevent us from going to him. If we feel unworthy. But are you sure of God's love for you this morning? Just think about that. Are you sure of God's love for you this morning? Because first and foremost, you've been created by love for love. You're the apple of his eye. And no one and nothing that you can do or nothing that you don't do can separate you from God's love. Imagine that. Just think about that, the freedom in that, that you don't have to do anything for God to love you. He loves you just as you are. If you take that on board, I'll tell you what, that's just so foundational. If you know that, then you're free. You're free to say no. You're free not to seek approval of man, because you know that you're loved by God. Just keep running to him. When you fully understand the truth about that, about God loving you, you will never, ever have a problem with feeling insignificant again, because you are very significant to God. You are loved. You bring pleasure to God. And what God wants most from you is relationship. He wants you to know him, and he wants to be with you. He is with you. We just often don't notice because we're too busy. He deeply loves you, and he desires your love in return. And he longs for you to know him and spend time with him. Now, if that doesn't change you, I don't know what will. If that won't, you know, provoke you to go to him on a regular basis, I don't know what else will. Okay, I'm going to wrap that up in a minute. That was it. That's the message. It's as simple as that. God loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to love him. He's drawing you to him. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Go to him and he will give you everything that you need. This is also, I have to say, a preparation for you, because coming up in the year for Lent this year, we're going to do a 40-day devotional together. We haven't done that in this church actually for a long time. I remember the last one that we did under Nick Hookey called The Purpose-Driven Life, and that was transformational for the life of this church. So we would like as many people as possible to get on board with that. But I do think that actually this message is really pertinent to that, because it's about a month away until we begin the season of Lent, when we're going to start this devotion. And I'm telling you that if you haven't prepared, if you haven't started doing this devotional stuff, then actually you're probably going to get a bit left behind with this devotional. And we don't want anyone to be left behind. We want us all to do it together as the body of Christ here at the People's Church. So my closing thing is just in James 4, verse 8, it says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Let me just pray for you. Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you for this simple yet profound message of your love, and you're just wanting to be with us and for us to know who you really are. Thank you, Jesus, that you've called us first and foremost to yourself, that you love us without putting anything heavy on us. I just love that. And Lord, we've spoken about, you know, making time and planning and just being aware of your love. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that just needs to know more of your love and needs to experience it, Father, by your Spirit, would you pour your love out this morning? Would you touch hearts? and minds and lives. And Father, I know that once we get started in this, once we get started in coming to you and spending time with you, Lord, it's never enough, actually. It is enough, but it's never enough. So, Father, I just pray that you would help us to come to you, to deal with the things that stop us from doing it, Lord. Just help us by your Spirit. We want 2018, Lord, to be framed by a deep relationship with you, and then deep relationship with others. Let it happen, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.